Lord, as we prepare to feast upon your word, we pray that it is honoring to you and that we surrender to you, Holy Spirit, in the course of recognizing who you are and all that you have done. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can, as I finish setting things up here, and turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 17. Morning to you on Zoom as well, to everyone that's here. So please stand as we read together the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I fully understand if you need to sit down. It's a long one. 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. And they camped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes-Dedanim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah, and drew up an array to encounter the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders, and the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him, and he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." Again the Philistines said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephraite of Benjamin and Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And Jesse was old in the days of Saul, advanced in years among men, and the three older sons of Jesse had gone after Saul to the battle, and the names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and the second to him Abinadab, and the third Shammah, and David was the youngest. Now the 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's flock at Bethlehem. And the Philistine came forward morning and evening for 40 days and took his stand. Then Jesse said to David his son, "Take now for your brothers an ephod of this roasted grain and these 10, and run to the camp to your brothers. Bring also these 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of their 1,000, and look to the welfare of your brothers, and bring back news of them. For Saul and they and all the men of Israel are in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines." So David arose early in the morning and left the flock with a keeper, and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke these same words, and David heard them. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in accord with this word, saying, "Thus it will be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger burned against David. And he said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle." But David said, "What have I done now? Was it not just a question?" Then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing. And the people answered the same thing as before. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go out to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who has delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. And David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." And David took them off, and he took his stick in his hand and chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Then it happened, when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the slain Philistines lay along the way to Shamarim, even to Gath and Ekron. And the sons of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and plundered their camps. Then David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his weapons in his tent. Now when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this young man?" And Abner said, "By your life, O king, I do not know." And the king said, "You inquire whose son the youth is." So when David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the Philistine's head in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." Thus reads God's word, and you may be seated. First Samuel 17:45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." This morning, we have the classic story of the triumph of David over the giant Goliath. The obvious aspects of this historical recounting have been chronicled in so many accounts of literature and film and lore. It has been used in teachings about the overcoming of tremendous odds, that size does not matter when facing obstacles, good triumphing over evil, etc., etc., etc. The readily apparent elements of this account have been used, preached about, stressed, idolized, imitated, demeaned, mocked, glamorized, and eulogized about in so many varied and sundried arenas, films, stories, poems, and chronicles. It is to the point that even in reading of it this morning, there may have been some with the reaction of complete reserve. Having heard about this episode over and over again, we may tend to just let it slide through to the next chapter of our reading. Even as I prepared for this morning, there was that hesitation within my mind as to what else could be brought out of the reading. Yet, over and over again, I was led to this morning's passage. There is that subsurface focal aspect of this stand for Jehovah that fills our hearts and our minds. We have spent many hours on the truth of this passage in other studies. So many various sermons have been preached about David slaying Goliath. Still, even when trying to circumvent this account in some measure, there was that prompting to read it again and again and again. My spirit was set upon this reality that God has ever brought forth, yet which continually needs to be proclaimed and needs to be set at the forefront of our attention and our consideration. This statement by that young shepherd boy stands the test of eternity in the fact that all trust and credit and honor and credibility and reliability is set into the knowledge that God will be the one who gives the victory. Then, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. This is something that we cannot just carelessly disregard as a trite story that we have heard over and over and over again. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to bring it into the depths of our beings again and again and again, no matter how many times we may have dealt with it. The vast reality is that God is the one who gave David the victory over the Goliath. God is the one who has always been the victory of his people. That God will now and forever be the victorious and triumphant Lord God Almighty, revealed to those who trust in him. And that is never trite. It never grows old with repetition and with the continual recounting in word, in song, in praise, and in adoration. His victory will never dim, nor grow redundant, nor less glorious. Rather, with each recounting of the goodness and the mercy and the power and the awesome salvation that God brings forth, we find ourselves ever more in awe of him and his wondrous and his miraculous working power to save and to redeem and to conquer. God is triumphant. God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. God is our Savior. God is our Lord. God is our victory. God is our everything. Accordingly, let us spend this morning in the acknowledgement and the adoration and the glorification, as well as the encouragement that God will do everything that is necessary in our every battle in order to bring forth his victory in the salvation of his people. This will be through the omnipotence of his hand in operation, in the plans and the purposes that he has put forth for those who trust in him. We will rejoice together as we read of the accounts of his glory and his majesty in the manner of how he has proved himself over and over and over and over again and again and again as the Savior of his people. We will begin with the passage in Leviticus 26, 6 through 9. in which Jehovah made known to the children of Israel the promise of what would be in place if we will honor and obey Him. The promise is just as true today as it was in the day that it was pronounced upon those Israelites. Leviticus 26, 6 through 9. I shall also grant peace in the land, so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land. But you will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall before you by the sword. So I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. Notice the fact that because of the Lord, in obedience to Him and in reverence of Him, He will provide everything necessary for us to live in peace, without fear, and without anguish. Now, this does not mean that everything will be roses and cream and idyllic. There is that aspect in which we will be confronted by those who are the enemies of God. But note that we are not to be afraid, nor tremble, nor fret, nor worry about any of it. The Lord will use us to bring forth His victory and His deliverance as is needed to face every adversary. Unlike the Israelites in this morning's reading, who quaked and shivered in dire fear and dread of the giant who was taunting and reviling them, we are to be as that shepherd boy, David. He simply trusted that the Lord would go before him to deliver the people from the enemies against whom they were arrayed. So it is in our lives. We will have those gigantic obstacles, those battles of such outrageous proportion in our eyes, but they are never too big or too difficult as we stand in our faith and our trust in the Lord. He will do everything necessary to see us through as the people unto whom the Lord means everything. We represent the Lord, and that is never a cowering or a timid depiction as the redeemed of Jehovah. It is always to be filled with that complete confidence and assurance that God will see us through it all for His glory to be revealed. Next, please turn to Deuteronomy 1, 29 through 31, as the Lord reiterates this reality of not letting fear and cowering dominate our thoughts and our concerns as we go forward in Christ. God is the one who is actually fighting the battle and going before us into the every field of conflict. He presents to us the truth that He will be the one who makes sure that we are cared for and brought forth victoriously as His very own children. Just as He consistently and so triumphantly went before His people throughout their release from captivity and then in their sojourn in the wilderness, so will He always carry us safely and securely in the refuge of His arms. Deuteronomy 1:29-31. Then I said to you, do not be shocked nor fear them. The Lord your God who goes before you will Himself fight on your behalf, just as He did for you before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, just as a man carries his son in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place. Next, please consider the encouragement that we receive later in this book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verses 35 through 39, where God made the definitive proclamation to His people of the fact of His overriding and abiding power in action on the behalf of those whom He has chosen unto Himself. He wants His people to rest in the security of His protection and His victory over all the forces that could ever be arrayed against the witness and the testimony of Jehovah. Deuteronomy 4, 35 through 39. To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, He is God. There is no other besides Him. Out of the heavens He let you hear His voice to discipline you, and on earth He let you see His great fire, and you heard His words from the midst of the fire. Because He loved your fathers, therefore He chose their descendants after them, and He personally brought you from Egypt by His great power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in and to give you their land for an inheritance as it is today. Know therefore today and get to your heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. There is no one but Yahweh who can save and protect and conquer every fear and every concern and every need of every single one of His people. He has made Himself so known that we are without any excuse if we choose to cower in anxiety and in doubt and in trepidation. Just as God proved Himself today over and over again with His protection from the lion and the bear and from Goliath, so are we fully partakers of that very same provision. This is as we but remember and encourage ourselves with the fact that we belong to the One who holds the whole universe together by the power of His might and in His design of operation. One of the kings of the Old Testament who learned this truth was King Asa. Please refer to 2 Chronicles 14, 11 to 13, wherein King Asa and the army of Judah faced the overwhelming forces of the Ethiopians, more than a million strong. That vast army had been devastating nations before it arrived in the land of the people of the Lord. When it seemed to be such a lost cause for Asa and his meager army, the king called to the Lord, and he set his trust in Jehovah to be the victory. It was another example of the power and the might and the seemingly numerical dominance of the giant army, which was then routed and destroyed by the hand of God in full display to save His people. 2 Chronicles 14, 11 through 13. Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one besides thee to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in thee, and in thy name have come against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. So the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar. And so many Ethiopians fell that they could not recover, for they were shattered before the Lord and before His army, and they carried away very much plunder. I don't know how many of us have cried out this prayer over and over again. Lord, there is no one besides Thee to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in Thee, and in Thy name have come against this multitude. O Lord, Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against Thee. Next, we look to the psalmist, who describes over and over again the triumphant power of the Lord over every enemy, including that of even our own failure and sin in disobedience. All that filth and that treachery which resides in the depths of our beings is dealt with by God, who so loves us that He cleanses us from within. He gives us those hearts and those minds and those spirits which find true and eternal life in Him. He, and He alone, is our confidence to face every foe, every battle, with the assurance that our God reigns forever, supremely and gloriously. In Psalms 9, 1 through 10, we hear thanksgiving being offered from a life that is witness to the awesome power of God on full display. There is nothing that God cannot do in the course of His work of salvation in those whom He has so loved unto Himself. Psalm 9, 1 through 10. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all Thy wonders. I will be glad and exult in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before Thee, for Thou hast maintained my just cause. Thou dost sit on the throne judging righteously. Thou hast rebuked the nations. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy has come to an end in perpetual ruins, and Thou hast uprooted the cities. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord abides forever. He has established His throne for judgment, and He will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the peoples with equity. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble, and those who know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. For Thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken those who seek Thee. The psalmist continued this refrain of praise unto the Lord, as in Psalm 17, 7 through 9. Psalm 17, 7 through 9. Wondrously show Thy loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge at Thy right hand, from those who rise up against Thee. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of Thy wings from the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me. Psalm 33, 13 through 19, details how God looks down from His heavenly throne upon those who are in such need of His salvation. The Lord does not just see the need, but He responds with all understanding. He brings forth what is needed, and in the manner in which His victorious work will be effective in the production of trust and love in His people. Psalm 33, 13 through 19. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. from his dwelling place. He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all. He who understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. In Psalm 71, 5 through 8, is laid before us the understanding as to the fact that our lives have been ordained by God all the days of our walk on this earth. It matters not how old we are, or how rich, or how popular. Everything in our lives runs the course that God has set for us. He knows us and has his hand upon our lives to protect and to keep us even before we are brought to that place of our recognition of who he is and how much we need him. He is our praise every day of our walk on this earth, from birth through unto our earthly death. Psalm 71, 5 through 8. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my confidence from my youth. By thee I have been sustained from birth. Thou art he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of thee. I have become a marvel to many, for thou art my strong refuge. And my mouth is filled with thy praise and with thy glory all day long. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 37, 18 through 20, brings forth the full reason for the victorious work of the Lord in our lives as his people. As detailed, when the king of Assyria was besieging Judah, there was an ultimate truth at the heart of each of these wondrous victories of the Lord on the behalf of those who belong to him. It is so that all may know that there is only one true living Lord God Almighty who rules and overrules according to his plan and to his purposes, to his glory alone. Isaiah 37, 8-20. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have devastated all the countries and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, so they have destroyed them. And now, O Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou alone, Lord, art God. This reality is as well emphasized by the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 28, 20 through 23. There will be no doubt in all the earth and throughout all the history of humanity who is the one to receive all the glory and the praise and the adoration for all the great deliverances that He has wrought on the behalf of those whom He has so loved. Ezekiel 28:20-23. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Sidon, prophesy against her, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Sidon, and I will be glorified in your midst. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I execute judgments in her, and I shall manifest my holiness in her. For I shall send pestilence to her and blood to her streets, and the wounded will fall in her midst by the sword upon her every side. Then they will know that I am the Lord. This then brings us to our conclusion of this morning with the great proclamation from the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:31-39. This is the definitive declaration of the power of God on high toward those who have so called upon Him. He Himself is our bedrock assurance that we have nothing to fear in all the realm of creation. There is nothing, and there is no one, and no power greater or more awesome than the Lord God Almighty and His work of salvation in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Romans 8:31-39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, For thy sake we are being put to death along. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So be it. Then David said to the Philistine, You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. Amen.
For He alone is worthy. the splendor of the King,
clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth joy,
who wraps himself in light, and darkness cries to high, and trembles at his voice,
and trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me how great is our God, and I will see how great, how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hand, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God, sing with me how great is our God, and we'll see how great, how great is our God.
The Tuesday night Bible study on Zoom and the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and that's it. Please mark your calendars for Sunday, December 31st, and that will be our dedication of the new year celebration right here following our morning worship. Okay, so please plan to be part of this time of fellowship in the declaration that God alone rules and overrules as each year progresses forth to the perfect fulfillment of His plan and His purpose in Jesus Christ. Okay. Any other announcements? I was told that, okay.
No, we're having a staff lunch celebration.
Okay, so this Wednesday is still, okay.
And it'll be the last one until our first.
Okay. All right, so correct that and be here.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking.
All right, I have a card from Jimmy. Ted, Laura, and Fellowship. Hope you all have a blessed Christmas and a good new year. Here is a picture of my awesome, smart, beautiful daughter. Ted, can you show her to all the brothers and sisters in the fellowship for me? Thank you. Proud Papa. It'll be up here for you to look at. Then I have to send it back to him. Okay. My Lord is always faithful. When I ask of Him, I pray, I know He will guide me. I know and trust He's always there. He will lift all my troubles from me. He sets my spirit free. And when I'm feeling all alone, I feel Him there with me. My Lord is always there and He is always faithful. When I turn to Him in pain, when this place gets to me and when the darkness overcomes me and goes against the grain, He will always take me in His loving arms, and He shows me the way. that will lead me back to the light of his heart, and with the simple words of his heart, I will keep the whole spirit and the faith I will need to be here for now 20 more months. Thank you all for your blessing, and most of all, your prayers, and that you all keep me in your hearts. Merry Christmas to all in Christ, your brother Jimmy. Okay, birthdays.